welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Open Mic session. Today's topic is KIX Transaction Server version 4.1 Event Processing Support. My name is Joseph Lam, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number 2. In today's Open Mic session, we will start off by introducing to you our panel experts for the day. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to KIX Transaction Server version 4.1 Event Processing Support. Next, our panel of experts will answer questions that were pre-submitted to us via email. Then, we will open the lines for a live Q&A period. And lastly, the session will end with a summary of the Open Mic session given by our panel of experts. Going on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like to introduce you to our panel of experts for today's call. Our panel consists of Adam Coulthard, KIX tester.
Hiya.
Next, we have Catherine Moxie, KIX senior developer.
Hi everyone, this is Catherine Moxie.
Then we have Gillian Kerwin, KIX tester and focus team leader.
Hello.
Next, we have Jackie Scott, KIX software tester.
Hello.
Then we have John Heroy, KIX software engineer.
Hi there.
Then we have Michael Bayless, KIX software test specialist. Then we have Peter Masters, formerly a KIX developer and now a WebSphere message broker developer.
Hello.
And finally, we have Steve Bolton, WebSphere KIX Explorer software developer. Now, before we get to the question and answer period, Catherine Moxie, one of our panelists for today, would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. So let's go on to slide number 4, and please go ahead, Catherine.
Thanks very much, Joseph. So on slide 4, this is an introduction that to KIX as a source of business events. There's a growing focus on event processing because of the business benefits it can provide in terms of being able to get information on what's happening in the business in a timely way, which allows businesses to be more flexible and responsive to new opportunities or competitive situations. A great deal of the business processing runs within KIX applications. So by enabling KIX as a producer of events, it's possible to gain insight into the processing and make changes in a flexible way. A key aspect to this is the ability to do so without the need to change or recompile the KIX applications. Events are emitted asynchronously and consumed in a decoupled way. This capability is provided in KIX Transaction Server for DOS version 4.1, and it can allow you to react quickly to changes required in your processing and help to demonstrate regulatory compliance. The events from KIX applications can be consumed in a number of ways. There's a small screenshot of a dashboard from Web Services Monitor, which shows how that product can be used to monitor business processing and measure things like the key performance indicators using the events from KIX. And to the right of that, there's a screenshot taken from the tooling from the Web Services Business Events product, which can allow you to look for patterns in events from KIX or events from KIX and other sources. The events can also be consumed in other ways, such as driving other processing within KIX. If we move to slide 5, here we'll take a look at how you can specify to KIX how to detect the events that happen in the applications without having to change them. Slide 5 shows a couple of screenshots from the Event Binding Editor, which is Eclipse-based tooling, which is part of the new KIX Explorer tooling. This allows you to create event bindings, which include event specifications. The screen to the left and higher up shows an event specification. The items listed down the left-hand side are bundles, which are the resource which is used to deploy events into KIX. One of those bundles is shown expanded, and there's an event binding called Ordering Patterns, which has been selected. Then the main part of this screenshot is the Event Binding Editor, and it's open at the page which shows an event specification. So within the Event Binding Editor, you can see three events which are part of the event binding: order placed, about to place, and order dispatched. These events are grouped into a single event binding because they're to be sent to the same destination in the same format, which I'll discuss a bit when we get to the next slide. The event that's called order dispatched is shown as selected, and its specification is shown with its name, description, and the items of business information for the event, known as the omitted business information. You can see there are three of those: the customer to which the order is dispatched, the item that was ordered, and an order number. This gives the sort of business level view of the event. And then the screenshot to the bottom right of the slide is the capture specification for this event. And this is how you indicate to KICS the circumstances in which the event occurs. The capture point, which isn't shown on this screenshot, but it's under the capture point tab, if you look at the tabs along the top, is one of the supported exec KICS commands. In this example, it's actually using exec KICS link. What we're looking at in this screenshot is the filtering tab, which provides details about which of the link commands which are processed in this KICS system relate to the order dispatched event. So in this case, this capture specification indicates that if the transaction ID is eGUI and the current program that's running is GFH0XVDS and the program that's being linked to is the program which handles dispatch of orders, GFH0XSOD, then we have the event we're interested in. Some of you might recognize these programs from the KICS Catalog Manager example application. Although it's not illustrated in this example, you could also filter based on data which is passed on the command, such as in the COM area or the channel on the link command. The final part of the capture specification, another of the tabs which we don't show here, is the information sources. That indicates the KICS of how to capture the data that's to form the omitted business information. So, for example, the order ID, which is part of this event, could come from a container that's passed in the channel on the link from DFH0XVDS to 0XSOD. So to generate the events, the bundle would be deployed to KICS, which will cause the event binding to be installed and enabled. And then whenever the filtering conditions are true, KICS will capture the data required and generate an event. Let's move on to slide 6 to see the various ways in which the events can be emitted. The large box on this slide shows the KICS transaction server system with some existing business logic running in it, and also the KICS event processing support, which is an integral part of the KICS runtime. So the event binding editor has been used to create and install event bindings, and then when the application carries out some processing which matches with an installed capture specification, the event details will be captured, enriched with some information about the application context in which the event happened, and sent to the event processing adapter as specified as part of the event binding. All the event processing adapters run within KICS, and they use a standard interface. There are a number of event processing adapters provided with KICS, which can send the event in the required format to its intended consumer. One option is to write the event to Webster MQ, and formats are supported to allow the event to be monitored using Webster Business Monitor, or included in pattern matching interactions in Webster Business Events, or read from the queue by some other program. It's also possible for the event to start a KICS transaction, with the event data being passed in containers within a KICS channel or written to a KICS temporary storage queue, which is a very convenient way to test that the events are captured when you intend and with the required data. And because these EP adapters all use a standard interface, it's also possible to write a custom event processing adapter which will emit events in any format and to any destination. So I hope that's given you some understanding of the event processing support in KICS, and I'll now hand the presentation back to Joseph for some questions.
Thank you, Catherine. We will now begin our question and answer session with questions that were pre-submitted to us before the webcast. I will now move on to slide number 7 and hand the presentation over to our panel of experts.
Hi, question number 1. Will my applications be completely unchanged, or are there circumstances when I will have to change the application?
Okay, this is Peter Moses. Are the applications affected? No, they're not, in the sense that the original application will cause events to occur but will continue running as it would have done previously. When it's capturing the event, the capture points are typically either on program initiation or exec KICS calls, and those events will cause other events to be emitted, but the original application will carry on unchanged. There may be performance changes within the system, but I know we've already got a question later on to cover that, so I'll leave that to then. Having said all that, there may well be times where either the the point at which we're capturing the information does not suit your application, or you don't have access to all the information to test at a single point, or you want to create a more complex event of a sort of aggregation of a number of pieces of data. If you wish to do something like that, then you can code an explicit API command, which is execkick signal event, which allows you to pass a channel in containing all the data that you need to produce your own event. That's not the whole story, because the actually saying you want to capture an event doesn't say how you want it to be emitted. So you will still need an event binding from the event binding editor, which will tell you whether it would like to, whether it's going to be emitted via a KIX transaction or off to MQ, etc. I think that's all I have to say. So can I hand that back to Joseph, please?
Thank you. I will now move on to question number 2 on slide number 8.
Can I change the definition of an event while KIX is running?
Yes, you can, by discarding the bundle that actually contains the event binding. But if you're worried about missing events while you're doing that, then add the event binding into another bundle and install it, which will effectively replace the original event binding. Okay. Please move on to question 3.
Okay, question 3. What can I do if I don't receive unexpected events because the filters have been specified incorrectly?
Okay, if one of the events expected was not received, then we need to go back to the event binding to have a look at certain parts of it. So going into the event binding editor, we can travel through the event specification onto the capture specification, where there are a number of filtering options that we need to check. Now, these are used to narrow down the location within the code that the event is triggered. So to solve this error, we need to look at these filters. They're all listed in the same page on the event binding editor, which is handy for checking through these bits. So the first one to look at is the application context. Now, this defines the set of predicates to filter the event on. For example, we have the transaction ID, the current program, or the user ID. So we need to ensure that these are correct for the running program or is marked as the special case of all. So the all is the special case, which basically means match any value that is returned. And this allows the event to be triggered in multiple locations. The second part to inspect is the application command options. And again, we need to make sure that these are correct for the running program. So an example of this is if they're set as put container, we need to ensure that the container and the channel parameters are set correctly for the program or, again, are marked in the all. The final thing to inspect is the application data filters. These define the predicates for filtering application data that's returned on the command. So this is actually looking at the data that's in the actual applications, the application data. So we need to ensure that the offsets, the types, and the length are all correctly specified for the copybook that's in use. Finally, once all those have been done, we can redeploy, and hopefully the problem has been solved. If we'd like to move on to the next question on slide 10, please.
Question 4. What impact will the use of KIX event processing have on the performance of my KIX systems, and how will the performance of my event-enabled application be affected by the new capabilities?
Yeah, the impact on the performance of the KIX system and on new event-enabled applications depends on two factors, really. One is the number of installed capture specs. If you haven't got any capture specs installed, there's going to be no performance impact at all. But as you put in more, then the impact will increase. The second factor is the number of events that are emitted. The more events, the more it's going to cost, naturally. However, we have designed and implemented KIX to keep that impact to a minimum. And a couple of things we have done to note are we've done the minimum amount of work on the application thread to minimize the impact on that. So the actual events are captured there, but the formatting and routing part of the work that is done by the adapters is done on a KIX open transaction environment PCB, and so it won't be affecting the application thread. The second thing we've done is we've kept the path length involved to a minimum, particularly in the event capture part. And we're pleased with the results of that. And customers using event processing have so far been pleasantly surprised with the performance results. Move on to the next question.
Question number 5. What diagnostics and tools can I use if I have problems with my events?
There are a number of tools that you can use to help diagnose problems if you have them. And these are quite well documented in the Information Centre. And in your references, you've actually got a link to that problems termination section, which goes into more detail on this. But the things you can use, first of all, is to use KIX Explorer or the CEMT command to confirm that event processing is indeed started within the KIX region, and also to check that the event bindings that you expect and the versions of them are installed and enabled in the system. Having checked that, the next tool is obviously the KIX message log, see if there are any messages indicating errors, such as errors with the event processing adapters. We've also provided a lot of statistic information about the event processing. So using the statistics utility and the SAT transaction, that can give you a lot of useful information and counts about how many events have been captured, which events are captured from various capture specifications, how many events have been emitted, and what event processing adapters are emitting the events. And indeed, there's a counter which shows if there have been any events which have been lost due to problems occurring within the event processing. And then if those diagnostic tools haven't allowed you to understand the problem you're trying to diagnose, then you can also use obviously KIX Trace and KIX Dump. If you enable the level 1 and level 2 tracing on the event processing EP and the EC components, then you can see information including details about the various predicates within the filtering and how those are being processed. So thank you. If we move on to the next question.
Question number 6. Does KIX have a loop prevention mechanism if my event consumer program itself triggers an event?
Okay, just to clarify this question, what we mean by loop here is that your original application has done an exec KIX call, criteria is matched on that, and an event is being produced. In processing that event, let's say a KIX transaction was started by the KIX transaction adapter, in which case that itself may make exec KIX calls, etc. And thus, the concern is, would that then cause a loop? Specifically here, I think we are talking about the KIX transaction adapter, because with MQ and the WDE adapter, we are going outside of KIX, so the possibility of the loop is sort of reduced, or going outside of the scope of KIX. So within the context of the KIX transaction adapter, the short answer is yes, there is a prevention mechanism. The way that works is that when that KIX transaction starts, I ought to tell you which transaction here, the transaction that started in response to the event being produced, the transaction starts and is passed a channel, the name of which starts DFHEP. That's what we check for whenever we're looking to do any subsequent events. So if that application itself makes a further exec KIX call, it may well match criteria for an event you've got in your system. But because we've also checked that the current channel name for that transaction is DFHEP, then we know not to produce one, because otherwise we'll cause the potential for a loop. So one reason we did it that way was to keep performance overhead down. We want to do the minimal amount of processing we can in line within the exec KIX call, to keep performance high. The loop in this situation was sort of considered an edge case, and it's not a mechanism we would recommend you try to use, that you try and cause loops in your setup. And this is not a mechanism that we would recommend you exploit to your advantage. We would rather keep loops out of event processing. So I hope that answers the question. I think that's all our questions complete. Can I hand back to Joseph then, please?
Thank you to our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this point, Daisy, we would like to open the lines for a live question and answer period.
And at this time, I am showing no questions from the phone.
We did have, Joseph, another question that might occur to people that we could perhaps give an answer to now,
Okay, we have one extra question. If I'm getting events but the data fields are missing, what should I do?
Okay, so the situations in which that might happen is that the filtering conditions are sort of evaluating such that this event is being captured. But there could be various reasons why some of the data that forms part of that event is not being included. And if you remember that the way you include data is by providing the information sources. If there is either a mismatch between the details you've provided about where that information can be provided from with data that's available at the time the command is issued, or if the data type that you're attempting to capture, if that's either an unsupported type or there's the value of the data doesn't match correctly into the size that has been requested for that omitted piece of business information, then you can either have that piece of information not included, not made available as part of the event, or potentially it can appear as asterisk characters indicating that it didn't fit into the requested piece of data for that part of the event. So once again, there is information in the Information Centre to help you diagnose those situations. Thank you. I'll hand back to you now, Joseph.
Thanks again. At this time, I would like to pass the presentation to Catherine for a summary of today's session.
Okay, thanks very much, Joseph. So we've discussed how business events can be omitted from KICS applications without the need to change those applications and with very little impact at all to the applications. The event binding editor allows event specifications to be created within event bindings and then deployed into KICS using the KICS bundle resources. The event specifications incorporate information about what data is to be included in the event and how the event can be captured by the KICS runtime. Events are formatted and emitted using event processing adapters, and a number of event processing adapters are provided with KICS, which support the most useful event formats and emission mechanisms. And these include, but aren't limited to, emitting events to WebSphere Business Events and to WebSphere Business Monitor. And there's also the ability to write custom event processing adapters in support of other formats or other ways of emitting events. So I'd like to thank you very much for joining the call, and I hope you found it useful. I'd also like to thank the members of the KICS event processing team for answering the questions and Joseph for organising it. I'll finish by handing the presentation back to Joseph.
Thanks again, Kathleen, for a great summary. At this time, we will conclude the Open Mic session.